good. Good morning! Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are so glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. And a few ways that you can learn more about how we here at GPC are church together. There in your bulletin are announcements about our worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. Also a calendar. It is summer, finally, so the calendar doesn't have much on it, but we are glad that you braved the post-fireworks and are here worshiping with us this morning. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship this morning to receive any of your questions or comments. And we will be celebrating the Sacrament of Communion this morning, and we do welcome all to the table. We will be celebrating by intinction this morning, which means following the prayer of thanksgiving, we'll invite everyone who is able to come forward to take a piece of bread, tear a piece of bread, and to dip it into the cup, receive the element, and then return to your seats. If for anyone who has mobility concerns, please remain seated. We'll have ushers who will wander around and very happy to celebrate the sacrament with you. A few announcements as we get started. First, we are heading over to Salem UCC to serve lunch tomorrow. If you would like to join us, you are more than welcome. I promise no experience or skill set needed. They let me in the kitchen every month. So for our junior highs who will be heading there at the end of the month, we'll go and get the place ready. And senior highs, if you remember what a great experience you had there, and I know you're not in school, would like to come with us, talk to your folks, and I'm sure we can work out some ride arrangements, talk with myself or Tracy Berkovich. And I also am excited to share with our mission partner team heading out to Guatemala on Saturday. So please keep us in your prayers. I will miss you for the next two Sundays. But we know Katie will do a great job holding things down in the fort. And Gary has an announcement for us this morning.
You will be happy to know that this is the last time I'm going to be up here making an announcement for the Red Wings, because today is the last day to sign up for the Red Wings, and I'm going to be passing them out next Sunday, the tickets. So today we have, as of this morning, 79 people going to the game. So.
Awesome. Now let us worship God together.
Good morning. Please stand if you are able and join me in the call to worship. As a father has compassion for his children, as a mother cannot forget her nursing child, as an eagle spreads its wings to gather its young,
I gather this all of his children united in faith and love.
Let us worship God.
As we celebrate the goodness of God, we also come to this time of worship acknowledging our shortcomings, our brokenness, and we bring them to God. Please join me in the prayer of confession. Compassionate God, you assure us that we have plenty, and yet we scramble for more. We keep our resources for ourselves, our neighbors, and our friends. It does not occur to us often to feed our enemies, to share your bounty with those who threaten us. We do not remember to break vicious cycles of hostility until we remember your own outrageous generosity in the gift of your Son. May we see each person as your child and know that we are just as valued in your sight. Stir us by your Spirit, silence our fears as we confess our shortcomings to you in prayer. In God, all things are possible. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and embraced. Let us celebrate by living with new generosity and grace. Thanks be to God.
To come forward and join me up front. Everybody, question for you guys today. Have you ever been so angry at someone that you tried to run away? Run away from home or run away from them? Never? Nope. I'm getting a yes over here. All right. You ever had someone be really mean to you and wish that you could just leave them alone and go away? Maybe. All right. Well, I have a story today from the Bible about a woman whose people were being mean to, and she wanted to run away and leave them alone. Her name is Hagar, and people were being mean to her where she lived, so she tried to run away, and she ran and ran and ran until she was all alone. And then she got scared. There wasn't anybody around her, and she was afraid. But then, just when she thought that no one would find her, God called out to her and talked to her and let her know that she would never be alone. So when things are hard or confusing, or when we're all alone, we know that God is always with us and taking care of us and checking in on us. You guys can remember that, right? All right. Let's go ahead and pray together, nice and loud, okay? Dear God, thank you for watching us. Help us be brave. Amen. All right, going back to your seats.
Scripture for this morning is from Romans 8, 28 and 29. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified.
Today's second scripture reading comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 16, verses 1 to 16. Listen for the word of God. Just so you know, before we begin, there are a couple names in this passage that will sound almost familiar, but not quite. And here's why. Sarah and Abraham, who are sort of considered the parents of Judaism, were given different names when they promised their lives to God and made the covenant. And this is before that actually happens in the Bible. So today we're talking about Sarai and Abram. They're the same people. Listen together. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bore him no children. She had an Egyptian slave girl whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, "You see that the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my slave girl. It may be that I shall obtain children by her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her slave girl, and gave her to her husband Abram as a wife. He went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt upon her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my slave girl to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me." But Abram said to Sarai, "Your slave girl is in your power. Do to her as you please." Then Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she ran away. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave girl of Sarai, where have you come from, and where are you going?" She said, "I am running away from my mistress Sarai." The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "I will so greatly multiply your offspring, they cannot be counted for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Now you have conceived and shall bear a son. You shall call him Ishmael, for the Lord has given heed to your affliction. He shall be a wild ass of a man, with his hand against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he shall live at odds with all his kin." So Hagar named the Lord who spoke to her, "You are Elroy," for she said, "Have I really seen God and remained alive after seeing him?" Therefore the well was called Beer-Roy, for it lies between Kadesh and Bered. Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. Friends, this is the word of God's people, here for us today. This week marks the first sermon in our summer series, Strangers, Servants, and Second Place, the least of these in the Bible. Throughout the Bible, there are stories of people who didn't always have the chance to be heroes or change their own lives, but who show us how each person makes a difference in the world around them. To make sure that we really focus on this theme, this week's scripture passage is about Hagar, a servant woman from a strange company, who's definitely a second-place wife compared to Sarah. Sarah is anxious about her lack of children and desperately wants a son to take care of her and Abram in her old age. Eventually, she'll go on to have children whose descendants will found Judaism and then Christianity. But right now, Sarah can't imagine having even one child of her own. Hagar won't always be second place, either. She's the mother of Ishmael, after all, whose descendants will found Islam. For this short little time in the Bible, we have the spiritual ancestors of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, the Abrahamic faiths, all living together in Abraham's tent. And then, almost immediately, the story sours, and Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar go from coexisting to being at each other's throats. We don't know much about Hagar, except that she was from Egypt and Sarah's slave. We can guess that she was probably quite a bit younger than Abraham and Sarah, and that it wouldn't be that unusual for a wealthy couple like them to have servants and slaves in their home. But we don't know how Hagar got there, or how long she had known Abraham and Sarah. We don't even know what she thought about becoming Abraham's second wife, although it may not have been very surprising to her. Back then, having children to take care of you in your old age was everything, especially for women who couldn't support themselves. Children meant safety, happiness. So if a married couple couldn't have children, it was common practice for the husband to either leave his wife and marry someone else, or simply marry a second wife who could have children for them. Since Hagar belongs to Sarah, Sarah's hoping to take Hagar's baby as her own, whether Hagar likes it or not. That probably doesn't sit well with the parents in the congregation today. It sounds awful to be forced to give up your child so another woman can have a baby. But back in Abraham's time, there were no adoption agencies or fertility treatments, and this seemed like the only way they could finally have a child. Sarah convinces Abraham to marry Hagar, and soon a baby is on the way. This sounds like exactly what Sarah wanted, but she can't handle it. The Bible tells us that Hagar looked on Sarah with contempt. But this is probably a good time to remember that the Bible is written by Sarah's descendants and not the children of Hagar. Since Sarah literally treated Hagar like a slave, contempt is the least of what she deserves in return. Sarah believes that Hagar is just one part of her property and acts like this is true. And so Hagar is sick of it. Sarah has a choice here, a fork in the road. She can recognize that Hagar is worthy of her respect and change herself, or keep ignoring Hagar's humanity. But Sarah isn't interested in changing. She likes most of her life, and giving Hagar some basic human rights might mean Sarah has to live differently. So instead, she complains to Abraham that Hagar has stopped acting like a slave, and suddenly it's Abraham's job to put her back in her place. Now, Abraham has a choice. He can defend Hagar as the future mother of his child and convince Sarah to be kinder to her. He could even tell Hagar to obey Sarah like she used to. But Abraham doesn't want that kind of responsibility, so he abstains from doing anything at all. Instead, he tells Sarah to do whatever she wants to Hagar, and so Hagar's life goes from bad to worse. Hagar is tired of being controlled. Her son will be born soon, and she probably doesn't want him to grow up raised by other people. So she runs away, desperate, without anyone to help her. This is where God steps in. When Hagar is alone in the desert, God sends a messenger to speak with her. God calls Hagar by name and wants to hear her story. There's no confusion here about how important she is. Hagar doesn't have to prove herself before she speaks with God or be judged. She's brave enough to talk with the God who knows her, who believes that she is worth listening to. God makes a covenant with her right then and there that her children will be a vast nation. God tells her to name her son Ishmael. God hears. The same way that an angel of the Lord will one day tell Mary to name her son Jesus. God promises her that Hagar's son will be strong enough to stand up for himself and brave enough to oppose people when justice is at stake. And then, the only time it happens in the entire Bible, Hagar gives a name to God, El Roy, which means the God who sees. This is one of my favorite names for God, because it describes one of the most wonderful parts of our faith. God sees us, but also understands us and knows us in a way that is different than sight. God cares about us enough to know every part of who we are. God notices our pain and reaches out. God pays attention to every one of us, rich and poor, young and old, the lost and the lonely. And God has a special place for the least of us, the people who most need to know that somebody truly cares about them. Hagar knows now that God sees her and will make Ishmael's future great, no matter what. And then God tells Hagar to turn around and go back to Abraham and Sarah. Hagar has a choice now, finally. She can obey God and return to the people who hurt her, offer them a second chance to do things right. Or she can try to survive in the desert, alone and pregnant. After speaking with God and realizing that she matters no matter what, that God sees her and calls her by name, Hagar decides to go back. I don't know whether Hagar forgave Sarah and Abraham. I'm not sure whether she possibly could, and I don't think forgiveness would have even made sense to them. But Hagar is still willing to try again. She goes back to the people who have hurt her and offers them the chance to treat her with dignity, to build a relationship on trust instead of on control. Her willingness to risk everything and to try again means that right there in the story, things can change. Together, the three of them can find ways to live differently, discover new ways of living as a community. Hagar's sacrifice opens up this story in a moment of possibility. We could skip ahead and learn the rest of their stories. After all, this is only chapter 16 of Genesis, and there's a lot of Bible left to go. But today, let's just rest in this moment that could go either way. There's a fork in the road here. Sarah can learn to curb her jealousy, give up some of her comfort to make space for Hagar to thrive. She can treat the Egyptian woman with kindness and respect, to learn to question those systems that benefit Sarah, and instead recognize that each person should have the freedom to choose their own way of life. Abraham can take more responsibility for the problems around him and stop being complicit in Hagar's abuse, instead of just standing by and letting injustice continue. He could pay attention to the problems around him, admit that things were wrong, and actually risk some family strife to fix them. Hagar knows now that she can leave if she has to, but she chooses to try life one more time with Abraham and Sarah. She offers them the chance to be more than conquerors as God's followers, but instead to do the hard work of being God's beloved people together. And if Hagar's sacrifice doesn't lead to change from Abraham and Sarah, God has already promised that Ishmael will have the strength and the bravery to stand up for himself and all of his children. We know plenty of places today where people are still being treated as, well, less than. We know that many undocumented immigrants risk being violated and give up the rights of citizenship just for a chance to provide for their families. We know that migrants work on our farms and our hotels and salons without ways to always protect themselves from abuse or being paid fairly. In the city and out in nearby farmlands, the children of immigrants need help to catch up in new schools, to excel no matter where their families find work. And so every day, we have the choice to continue being part of the system where their hardship goes unnoticed. We could even ignore any injustice entirely and not think about the fact that people might need our help. We could do that. It's easy not to notice when people are hurt if we don't actually look for them. Or we can remember that God sees each person and knows everyone who suffers. We can look for the strangers near us and get to know their names and their stories. As part of rural and migrant ministries, GPC builds relationships with the strangers around our city and works together with them. Our church finds ways to reach out and share meals with farm workers nearby. Other churches at SOTUS and Lyons meet summer camps for the children of those workers. We have the chance to volunteer as tutors in city schools, encouraging children and letting them know just how important they are. And thankfully, we offer the chance to learn and to change and to care for the strangers in our midst. Lifting up the strangers among us takes work, and so does building reconciliation and trust after struggle. But part of being the body of Christ includes reaching out to the people with grace and love, being willing to hear their stories as part of our story, and working to care for each other. As we come together this Sunday morning to our communion table, let us remember that God sees every person and welcomes us all as part of Christ's beloved community. Amen. Please stand and join me in our affirmation of faith today, taken from the Barman Declaration. Scripture tells us that in the as yet unredeemed world in which the church also exists, the state has by divine appointment the task of providing for justice and peace. It fulfills this task by means of the threat and exercise of force, according to the measure of human judgment and human ability. The Church acknowledges the benefit of this divine appointment in gratitude and reverence before Him. It calls to mind the kingdom of God, God's commandment and righteousness, and thereby the responsibility both of rulers and the ruled. It trusts and obeys the power of the word by which God upholds all things.
the one to whom we turn our lives over, has invited us to this table. So this morning, whoever you are, and however you feel, for whatever reasons you are here, come to this feast. Whatever your conditions, whatever your brokenness, the hurts you bear, know that the host is the one who teaches, the one who heals, and the one who welcomes. Indeed, it was our Savior who invited those to trust him, to share this feast which he has prepared according to the Gospel of Luke. When our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it. He gave it to them and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to God.
God who calls us by name.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing to give thanks to you, God, creator of heaven and earth. In ancient days, you created us in your image, calling the world very good and inviting us to live in peace. We saw a different way and instead grabbed for power by exploiting others. We strayed from your path and moved as far away as we could from you. You brought us back, time and time again, through the power of your laws, the words of your prophets, and finally the saving grace of your Son, Jesus Christ. We give thanks that even in our jealousy, you reach out to us and offer a new way of living in community. You give us hope and empower us to share your love in the world. And so we join our voices with all those who seek you in every time and in every place, saying, Holy, 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 God our God, heaven and earth behold your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who guides us from sin and death. Hosanna in the highest.
Our life. As your Son Jesus came to reveal your presence in the world in every moment of wonder, traveling far and wide, he reached out to the servants and outcasts, showing us that each person is part of your creation. His life shows us a new path where the master becomes the servant and all are given a place at the table. As we remember his life and death, as we come to the table of the resurrection, we speak of that mystery we call faith.
Christ died, witnessed to the world.
Christ rose, loving God with all that he was.
Christ will come.
Holy God, send out your Spirit upon this bread and cup, simple gifts which grace us with your life, and send your Spirit upon those who gather at this table. May the bread we break and the cup we bless unite us with the living Christ, and with all those who believe in you, so that we may truly be your people. As we are welcomed at your table of grace, may we open our hearts to all who have been forsaken by the world. Glory and honor, praise and thanksgiving are yours, God of new life, on this first day of the week and in all the days to come. Amen.
Amen. We give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, gathered his friends around many similar tables. And on the night before he gave himself over to the authorities prior to his death, so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives us strength, he took a common loaf and made it holy, just as he takes common people like each and every one of us and makes us holy. To remember, he asked that we repeat this act again and again, and he did so by saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, and do this in remembrance of me."
We cannot live by bread alone. So in the same way, after supper, after giving thanks, Christ took the cup and poured it out, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink this in remembrance of me." For we know so often as we eat this bread and drink this cup together, we proclaim Christ's saving death until he comes again. Friends, everything is ready. Let us feast together.
Communion servers would come forward, and as the music plays, you all are welcome to join. A reminder for those who have gluten intolerance, there are wafers in the container here on the table, and you're welcome to receive communion that way as well. The body of Christ together, we make sure no one gets missed, waving hands and all. Waving hands and all. So thank you.
Let us pray. Abundant God, you make this feast the nourishment we need to live as your beloved children and share your grace with our neighbors. Continue to inspire us to see your children's tears and reach out with love so that we may follow your example of grace. With this food and this drink, let us be the love that we have found in you.
Nourished in this meal, we also recognize that God welcomes all of us wherever we are with our joys and our concerns. So So please, if you have a prayer of joy, a prayer of concern that you would like to share with the community who is committed to continuing these prayers throughout the week, just raise your hand and we'll share those prayers together.
David Keeling, last week I asked for prayers for a coworker. Her grandfather, they discovered cancer, and they were supposed to operate Thursday. And when they went in, they found that it spread and it has worsened. So prayers for her and her family. Thank you.
Prayers for her family.
Hi, Ren Steinmiller. A couple prayers. One for my brother-in-law, who's going to face some triple bypass surgery sometime this week. We're waiting for time on that. And also for me and my family. My mother passed away yesterday, 88 years old. She was a trooper. She was an amazing woman who's touched my life, my wife, and my kids' family deeply, and I will truly miss her.
Prayers for Ron Steinmiller, the entire Steinmiller family, and the death of Ron's mom.
Abby Unson, I have a prayer of joy for an acting camp that I have that's starting tomorrow. So.
Prayer of joy for Abby and her acting camp that she'll start this week.
It's my keel. I have a joy this week. It's my grandma and grandpa's 50th anniversary.
Yay!
Wonderful.
Prayers of joy and congratulations for the Bill Lavics in celebration of 50 years together. Congratulations.
Amen. That's right.
Jan Buettner, I just asked prayers for my son, not my son. I don't have a son, Andy. I don't think. My nephew, Andy Buettner, who severely burned his right hand yesterday grilling. So it didn't look good. So
prayers.
Accidents.
Got one back over here.
Marge Westfall, I'd like to ask for continued prayers for my granddaughter. She's now home from the hospital, but trying to be built up so they can send her to the Mayo Clinic. And she sure needs loads of prayers because she's not doing very well. Thank you very much.
Continued prayers, Marge. And many of you have also asked about Jean Sclair, whose name is in the bulletin. She is home or back at Fleming Point. Resting comfortably. It sounds like she had a really nasty flare-up of arthritis in her neck. So.
Jesse Wushon, just would like to say how great a joy it is to see so many faces here this morning, even coming in from the parking lot, ran into people we haven't seen for a while, and on the day after the 4th, to have so many people at service, it is
Amen.
Really a joy.
Okay. All right. Let us continue our time of prayer together. Ever-present God, we are grateful that you are with us wherever we are, regardless of what is happening in our daily lives or in the events of the world. We praise you for lifting us up when we are discouraged, for renewing our faith when we have doubt, for igniting our hope in despairing times, for reassuring us of your love when we feel alone, for when we feel sad, for when we feel lost. We praise you that your purposes for the world bring justice to the vulnerable people, reconciliation amongst violence, and mercy and forgiveness for all those who seek a new life. On this holiday weekend, we recognize that our nation also bears many burdens. We struggle to trust our leaders. We cannot always find ways to work for the common good. We allow the least among us to suffer, and we lose our children to endless conflicts and wars. We fixate on what divides us rather than what brings us together as one people. Remind us this weekend of our calling. Remind us of our common creed that all people are created equal. Inspire us to ensure that all your children enjoy life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. God, help us to be profoundly grateful for our freedom and security and to never take these gifts for granted and to use them for the betterment of all. God of all life, may peace and justice fill our land and indeed the whole world. We pray this morning for places around
your world, where people are victimized and where safety is threatened, where freedoms are denied and where life is treated as anything less than sacred. May our country and all peoples pursue the way that leads to peace. All this we pray in the name of Christ, who taught us to practice such peace and to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. With joy and thanksgiving, let us offer back to God a portion of the blessings for which God has shared with us.
Father, we offer you these gifts and pray that they will be used in ways that will glorify you. And we thank you for this fellowship that we have together, that we can bring these gifts, and that we have fellowship that praises you. In Jesus' name, amen.
And as we begin our first chapter, being the church in really, literally the world, we prepare our hearts in a time of prayer. And for those traveling to Guatemala, hopefully you have begun preparation of your suitcases and also your excitement. So at this time, I invite Tom Ward and Beth Oman and Rob Oman, who will join us in spirit because I assume he's still in Boston, David Keeling, Christina Mosgraber, myself, Andrea Unson, and if Judy Tompkinson and Kay Federley from Batavia are here, we also welcome them to come forward. Come on, you guys are all looking scared. Seriously, spending 9 days together. great. I know, right? All right, make sure they all can see us. Picture us in their minds as we get up very early on Saturday morning for a flight to Guatemala. My friends, we have heard God's voice calling us by name, and we have responded yes to travel to Guatemala representing the people of Gates Presbyterian Church, Batavia Presbyterian Church, and the Presbytery of Genesee Valley. We stand here as God's servants, preparing ourselves for this journey. So, do you all promise, as God's servants, preparing yourself for this journey, to open your hearts to our brothers and sisters in Guatemala? If so, please say, we do. And will we seek ways in which we can be vehicles of God's justice? Please say, we do. And when we return, I promise, not that day, but the following Sunday, to share with this congregation, those in Batavia, in the presbytery, and hopefully in your whole lives, the sacred stories of encountering God's presence in the land and people of Guatemala, will you? We will. And will you all, the people of Gates Presbyterian Church, covenant to pray for these travelers while we are gone? If so, please say yes. Let us pray together. Oh God, we give you thanks that you journey with us, in us, and before us at all times and in all places. We pray for Tom and Rob and Beth and David, Christina, Melissa, Andrea, Judy, and Kay. We ask that you give us safe travels, and that you deepen in us an understanding of your will, your work, and your spirit in this world. In your name we pray, amen. Amen. I'll see you all Saturday morning.
Thank you.
go in grace. Love God, serve your neighbor. May every choice you make lift up the strangers among us. And know that no matter how far you go, no matter how far you are from home, God's love will go with you every step of the way. Amen.